Hey there, welcome to Intentional Living Center. We're going to open the doors and very carefully, kindly, but very intentionally talk about life after divorce. You know, the whole divorce recovery movement is huge around the country with so many Christians facing divorce, and churches are actively engaged in this. And today, we're going to come alongside those of you who have been divorced to encourage you. And also, I hope for those of you who are married to encourage you to make your marriage work. Are you ready? This is Intentional Living.
From the Intentional Living Center in Tucson, Arizona, welcome to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. We're at the phones ready for you at 1-888-888-1717. That's 1-888-888-1717. Now, to help you be intentional for your life, here's Randy.
All right. Thank you much, Kurt, and welcome to Intentional Living today. And we do open our lines to you and ask the question to the many who are listening. You've been divorced, maybe remarried, but maybe divorced and still remaining single. How have you seen God work in your life after divorce? What have you learned? How would you speak to others who are going through this in their life? Our phone line is open to you today. Very intentional, but a short time, 30 minutes. 888-888-1717 is the number. Psychologist Thomas Whiteman co-authored a book called Starting Over. And in that, he laid out some of the stages that we go through. And these are basic stages that we go through in grief because, you know, divorce is a loss. And it's not only a loss of your marriage, but it's many times a loss of identity. It's a loss of relationships. It's a loss of your family structure. I mean, there's many consequences to divorce, as you know, as you've been through it. And so it's really a kind of a loss-based approach after divorce. And he talks about these stages leading from denial, which is often the first stage, that idea of pretending that it never happened, and downplaying its importance. And I've seen that with people. It's kind of like it's going to be better for the kids and it's going to be okay. But then the anger starts to settle in, and then maybe there's this desperation to try to put it back together, and there's bargaining. Then there's depression. And eventually, if we go through this process, there's acceptance and ultimately forgiveness. It's a difficult process. And some research says it takes about 1 year for every 10 years you've been married. So if you've been married 20 years, it's going to take a couple of years. If you've married 3 years, it's going to take, you know, 30 years, it's going to be 3 years of time. And we've seen that when we work with couples. So today we want you to join in. If you've been through this, you'd share with others what you've learned, what God has taught you. Maybe you weren't a Christian at the time and the divorce you didn't want, you didn't expect, and yet here it is. And also, I want to share with you five things that I believe to be very practical, essential steps to divorce recovery. I'm going to share those with you. We've got them online. Talk about them in just a few minutes, okay? Phone line is open, by the way, 888-888-1717. Michelle Borquez, she was a guest on my program here, I mean, quite a while back, but what she shared was really pretty profound. She's the author of a book called Finding Wholeness After Divorce, and when I talked to her, she talked about some of what she learned from her own divorce. Take a listen.
I'm thankful, you know, today I'm remarried and I have a wonderful, amazing husband, so I'm very blessed. And I had four children at the time. They're all almost grown now. And I would say, you know, I'm just the process itself, you know, so many people, and I see this over and over again as I work with divorced people, is they want to replace what's been lost, and they want to replace it fast because it's this open wound and they're trying to find a way to heal it. So they'll end up medicating on things. They'll end up trying to replace it with people. They'll get in one relationship after another. And I definitely made some of those mistakes. You're afraid. You're sitting there with these kids and you're trying to figure out how you're going to do life. And really, you don't know how to navigate. So some of the things I would say to the women and men out there who are in that place, who've come out of a divorce, is number one is you have to come to the place of acceptance, because it's so hard to realize and accept this is my life now. I mean, I am no longer a married person. I'm now single and I'm having to deal with dating and all these things. So it's saying, you know what, Lord, I surrender and I relinquish the outcome of my life to you. I didn't understand it. I didn't understand my divorce. I don't understand why I'm here, but I'm here. And so I accept that, Lord, and I surrender that to you. And I now want to work on me.
Well, that's worth the whole half hour right there. That's good. Thank you, Michelle. That's a clip from a conversation I had with Michelle Borquez, who wrote the book Wholeness After Divorce. And by the way, information, you can find information about her and a link to her by coming to our website. Just go to theintentionallife.com and click on today's highlights. Okay? Talking divorce and recovery and what you learned and what God has been teaching you. Karen is on the line with a question for me to get started from Arizona. Welcome.
Thank you.
Appreciate your call. What's your question today, Karen?
My question is, I've been married for 29 years, mm-hmm. and we were both strong Christians. We have two children. They're both adults. One is married, and one is getting married in a couple months. And this was a blow to all of us. It was completely unexpected, and I'm just trying to figure out how do you move forward when you both were such strong Christians, and then one chooses to obviously fall away from God.
Yeah. And you've been divorced, or are you just separated, you said?
We have been separated for over 2 years. We're in the process of the divorce, but
Was there in that 2 years?
Hurry.
Was he's not in a hurry?
He doesn't seem to be in a hurry.
Uh-huh. So during this 2 year period, have you talked? Have you been in counseling? Have you been able to move through some understanding of what's going on?
We did do marriage counseling, and I found out that he was continuing with his infidelity. So I told him that marriage counseling was off the table until he figured out what he was going to do. And, we just didn't know what to do from there. And no, we really don't talk. He doesn't even mm-hmm. text. He doesn't do anything.
Mm-hmm. So right now you're you're stuck.
Yes.
Yeah.
Very stuck.
And I think that's
I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
I keep looking back because we had a great marriage, as far as I knew. and I just don't know how to look forward. I mean, I do know how. I forgave him for the act, but the pain doesn't leave.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's because I keep looking backward.
Yeah, you just heard Michelle on the statement she made was there's a point of acceptance. And you know, you've had 2 years. There's been some lack of motion or movement. You're kind of stuck. And, you know, you need to come to some resolution between the two of you where you're headed. That needs to be resolved. But I think Michelle gave some good advice when she talked about ultimately there's that acceptance that this is where I am and this is my new normal. That's what it is. It's a new normal. It's not the normal I wanted. It's not the normal I asked for. And all of a sudden my world has just been seismically shifted from one reality to another. And looking in the rearview mirror when it becomes habitual causes us to crash. And so there's a point in your life, Karen, where, you know, there's forgiveness. We go through these steps we talked about just a few moments ago, you know, the depression, the bargaining, but the acceptance and forgiveness ultimately is the goal. I'd encourage you to get with a counselor into a support group and begin the process of moving your life in a healthy direction, making some decisions for yourself as you move forward, because it seems like what happened 2 or 3 years ago is you just got onto a sidetrack, like a train that gets onto a sidetrack and then stuck. And that's okay for a short period of time when we're trying to figure out what's going on. But month after month, and then year, and then 2 years, and so on, there's a point where you want to get back into life and you've got to move on. And it's not, moving on doesn't mean that there's not hurt, doesn't mean that there's not going to be consequences, but it does mean right now, you need to get some help to be able to take that next step. And that's pretty much what this recovery process is that we talk about. I hope that helps. We're going to be praying for you, Karen. I know it's difficult. Every call today will be. This is a very, very difficult problem for people. And I just say to every one of us, if you're married today, and you may be in a second marriage, you know the hurt. You may be in your first marriage. God love you. Make that marriage work. You guys, if for no other reason, the pain associated with going through a divorce and separation is painful, the impact on kids and so on, to the degree that God is going to move in your heart and allowing the Holy Spirit to move in your lives, we want you to have a story of, 50 years of marriage. And you can do it. But if you've been divorced, how do you recover? How do you move on? Listen to the lessons being learned today. 888-888-1717.
Hi, my name is Tricia, and I'm recently gone through a divorce. But I have two little girls, and I intentionally lead them towards Christ every day, no matter how painful things have been for us. But we believe that God is good, God is faithful, and He will definitely be our protector, and He's in control and can help heal our wounds and bring us through a blessed life. So I just wanted to pass that on. Thank you very much. Bye.
Life after divorce. There is. It's not the end of life, but certainly it is a change. And as Michelle Borquez said earlier, accepting this new reality in your life can be very difficult for some, especially when the dream, when the expectation, when the ideal that you started with in life gets shifted. And it happens. It happens in all families. All of our families, we've been touched by this when you see the numbers. But this reality, when it gets shifted, creates a real challenge. And coming to terms with your relationship with Christ, getting involved in a church, not doing something stupid, jumping from one relationship to another, just like Michelle was talking about, you want to take that open wound and fill it with something. And sometimes it's just the wrong thing at the wrong time. Okay, let's go to Kelly, who's standing by with a comment today on divorce recovery. Hi, Kelly.
Hi.
Appreciate your call. What's your take on this today?
Well, I'm actually the daughter of a divorced family, and my parents were married for 25 years before they got divorced, and I was 19, and my brother was 30 at the time. And so in that time, I was very angry, and I packed around this anger for years. And, I finally come to terms and, forgiven both of my parents for, the weird things they said about each other to me, to my brother. There's a lot of anger that comes out of this, and I just feel like a lot of kids, they hold on to anger, and I feel like it's, you have to rely on God to forgive and come together as a family. And, I'm happy to say now that my parents will even, text each other, if they need something or to tell each other something without being angry at each other. And it's just such a blessing to be able to move on.
Very painful still, though. I can hear it in your voice. What was the most painful part of that for you?
Seeing my parents hate each other. Having my mom call me and say things about my dad, or have my dad call me and say things about my mom, I grew up with a whole family. And I was in college, and all of a sudden my world was just torn apart.
You think your parents understood that when they were going through that process?
Absolutely. But, I think that they were blinded by the anger that they had, that they didn't see the effect it was having on me.
How long ago was that, Tommy?
It's only been 2.5 years.
How are you doing today?
I'm a little emotional now, generally I'm okay. My mom has found both my parents have found different people that they're with, and not married, just together, and they're both a lot happier. They fought a lot when I was a kid. They argued a lot, but I never thought it would end up like this. But my mom moved out and called me and was like, "Hey, I moved out." So that was painful, but I think that they're both way happier than they used to be, so that makes it easier. I had to watch my strong dad cry and be sad, so that was really hard.
What have you learned about your life moving forward?
I think in my future relationships, when I do get married, and my significant other, he comes from a divorced family, but they were divorced when he was young. So, we both have this mutual understanding that, our relationship needs to be built on God and start there. Instead of just starting with each other and, we'll add God in later, I feel that, this can't succeed without the love of God and that strong foundation.
Hmm. How'd your other siblings do through this?
My brother's still angry. He doesn't really talk to many people anymore. He's married and has his own kids. So, this had an effect on him, but he didn't really deal with it outwardly. He kind of was very quiet. And still is.
Has he cut his parents out then, as far as talking to them?
Yeah, he doesn't talk to my mom at all, and he occasionally talks to my dad. Mm. Yeah.
Well, there's generational impact, but the good news in your voice, Kelly, is that you're learning. You want something different for your future. You're experiencing healing, but even 2.5 years later, we see the consequences when two people make a decision. The impact is real in the lives of other people, not just themselves. Well, listen, we pray that you will find great success in your life, that if this man's the right man for you that God has for the future, that you'll be married, and that both of you, because of coming out of divorced families, will really make it an intentional decision to stay focused on God and each other, keep short accounts, and learn from those lessons from your parents so it's not repeated in your lives. And that's what our prayer will be for you, okay?
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Kelly. Young, college age, sharing her reality. And that may hurt you because you're going through divorce and you may be saying, hey, you know, I got enough guilt. Thanks for the call, you know. But the reality is, as you're going through this process, remember, as you get stronger, there's people around you that also need your love and encouragement. And hopefully and prayerfully, there can be some restoration and reconciliation and some of the brokenness that happens in families well beyond just the two people that divorce. Today, divorce recovery, I got 5 things for you, essential steps, share with you in just a couple minutes.
Our lines are still open at 1-888-1717. This is Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Andy Carlson. You know, we all have friends that go a little overboard when it comes to social media, but that's never going to be a problem with Intentional Living. Whether it's Pinterest or Instagram or Twitter or Facebook, our sole commitment to you is to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ. So join us at theintentionallife.com and click on one of those cute icons at the top, helping you to recover from divorce. We are Intentional Living, and we'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Dr. Randy Carlson with an invitation to families and business to join me and a faculty of successful Christian family business owners and leaders at the Thrive Conference for Family Business. Make the investment in your family and your business by joining us on Tuesday, October 13th in the heart of Michigan. If you desire to grow your family business, strengthen relationships in your family business, and want to learn how successful Christian family businesses are doing both, register at familybusinessconference.com, familybusinessconference.com.
Our lines are still open, 1-888-1717. You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Andy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible entirely by the generous support of our listeners. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ. Randy.
All right. Thank you, Kurt. This topic of divorce is such a difficult topic because over the years when I talk to people, I hear the stories of people who tell me they're divorced. And I would say 80% of the time, if I'm just sort of thinking about the number of people I've talked to, about 80% of the time, people tell me about their spouse and how bad they were. And I don't know if that's just because of the people I happen to be talking to or if the perception is it's always the other person's fault. And I start to say this because at the end of the day, when you're going to recover, the first thing you have to do is confess your own part of this thing because it takes two people to tango, as they've always said, right? And it may be 90-10, it may be 95-5%. I don't know. Could be 50. I don't know. I'm not thinking so much about the percentages. I am about cleaning your own heart and our own hearts to confess our sins. You know, the Bible says if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, to be able to lay before God and, if possible, before the spouse that you're now divorced from, that, hey, I blew it. You know, whatever that is. And I ask for forgiveness. God forgives. Your ex-spouse may not. That's a reality, too. Another step is to guard your heart. Stay out of another romantic relationship until you've had good counsel from your pastor, and make it for a very long time until there's some healing in your life, this recovery process that we're talking about. Number three, I believe, is accountability. Enter into an accountability relationship with a mature Christian of the same sex, someone that you trust, someone that is mature, someone who's going to give good counsel and support, not going to preach at you, but love you. But there's a sense of accountability because your life has been, you know, shaken around. It's like you're on quicksand. You have someone around you who's just going to hold you accountable, someone that you really have confidence in. Then time is number four. Expect the healing to take time. You know, as we said, the research shows maybe 1 year for every 10 years married, some less, some more, but it still takes time. If you think 2 weeks after a divorce you're ready to move on in your life, that ain't happening. This is a major loss, not only for you and your spouse and the marriage, but also your identity. You just heard the Michelle, the impact with kids and family members and so on. And then number five, discipline. Take care of your priorities. Be disciplined. For example, if you have children, being a good parent, stay focused on the things that are most important. Take care of the number one responsibilities in your life as you go through this process. Okay, we've got callers backing up here. Let me see if I can get to Dolores in New Mexico. Welcome to the program, Dolores.
Hi, thank you.
What's your question today?
I was married for 43 years, have 5 kids, 14 grandkids, and I have realized the mistakes that I've made and asked my ex-husband if he would forgive me. He won't speak to me. I've written letters, shall I say, and he won't speak to me, and he's estranged from our 5 kids. And it's so painful. I recognize that I wish I would have done so many things, and it's devastating. I cried for 3.5 years, thought I couldn't live, didn't want to live. But I'm moving on, and the Lord has taken care of me, and so I don't know exactly what the question is, except how do I restore when he won't speak to me?
Well, you can.
What do I do to move on? Do I have hope for...
Yeah. Well, we always have hope, Dolores. I mean, there's always hope. But you said you had what? How many children did you say you have?
Five.
And how many grandchildren?
And 14 grandchildren.
Well, there you go. You got a full time job here as a mother, grandmother, and great grandmother. I think you said, with a lot of people that need your love and need your care and need your attention and need your investment of your life into their lives, and the would-haves and should-haves and oughts of life, I think Satan just loves to put those up in front of us and cause us to doubt our confidence in Christ, doubt our confidence in the day. One of the things we have, here's one of the truths that psychologically is a truth. When anxiety increases in our life, it is always tied to how far in the past we're looking or how far in the future we're looking. And learning to live in this moment of time, being clear at this moment, getting up today and say, God, what's the one thing that you have for me today? That's why I wear this wristband, trying to get into this moment. Lord, what is it today? Where are you working? What do you have for me? You have kids and grandkids and great-grandkids. You know, you've been divorced now for 13 years. Your ex-husband isn't communicating with you. He's made it clear he doesn't want to talk. And you're hanging on because there's unanswered questions that you're never probably going to get answered on this side. And you need to be able to move on. You really do. And I think some counseling would be helpful. But a realization to get up every day and be very day-focused. What is the one thing I can do today? In fact, Dolores, you hang on. I want to send you the wristband that I have here just as a way of, I want you to wear it for 30 days. And every day, get up and say, Lord, what one thing can I do today that will move me forward and have me focus on the priorities that I do have control over in my life, my own thinking, my relationship with my kids and my grandkids and so on. Would you do that if I send it to you?
Oh, yes, I would. Yes, I would.
All right. Now, you hang on. Sally's going to get your information, and we're going to send it to you. Okay? God bless you. Roseanne, I know you got a question quickly from Kansas. Welcome to the program. No, you have a statement. What have you learned?
Yes.
What have you learned there?
I was divorced over 20 years ago, and I lost my 4 children with that. Mm. And what I learned from that, it was a horrible, horrible experience. What I learned from that was that every anger, every jealousy, everything that came across that upset me, I had to take before the Lord and ask forgiveness for my part in it. Mm. And then I had to grieve over it. And later on, after I went through a lot of things, like not being able to see buy my daughter's dress or anything like that, I would take it before the Lord and grieve over it. And then later, years later, I would go to a support group and help, and they helped me to understand my grief.
Mm-hmm.
And it took a long time. I was married 16 and a half years when I was divorced, and it took 13 years for me to really understand. But the thing that I have to say is you can't really understand what's happened. You just have to move forward mm-hmm. with God and forgive and try to win your children back and give them space
yeah.
because they don't understand what happened either.
Yeah.
And when I gave my children space and forgave them, even if it wasn't their my fault, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I just, forgiveness has to be there constantly because you don't know what they're going through.
Yeah, they're going on their own speed, their own pace.
That's right.
And
that's
loss.
What grief is all about. Everybody grieves at their own speed and their own pace.
Yeah.
It's very different and unique, just like individuals. But I've been married now 23 years, and the Lord has brought me through it all. I've been very close to Him because He gives me all my guidance and answers. And some days I don't know what is going on, but all I do is trust in Him and tell Him, you're greater than I am, so you're going to get me through this.
Mm, that's the message. Roseanne, thank you for your call. For Dolores, Michelle, for everybody who's participated in today's program, you can join the discussion on Facebook / Intentional Living. If you'd like information to connect with Michelle Borquez, who was on earlier with her story, you can come to our website at theintentionallife.com. While you're there, by the way, you heard earlier the announcement about a very unique family business conference October 13th in Michigan. People will come from all over the country. We got a very limited space, 150 seats. That's it. And it's going to be family businesses, talking to family businesses from a Christian perspective, encouraging families. Get registered. Go to theintentionallife.com. Also, I want to say thanks to each of you for your financial support to this listener-supported ministry. If you're not a member, come join us today. Join the journey of living intentionally. Again, go to theintentionallife.com. Single and Satisfied, that's the topic coming up right here from Intentional Living. See you next time.